The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I am Avra Lewis with the North Carolina Reading Service, and for the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Essence Magazine. The first article is titled Skin Hope, from a manifesto that rejects limiting labels to a poetry collection that celebrates the ties that bind. These reads remind us of who and whose we are. Things Fall Apart. Black Girls Must Die Exhausted by Jane Allen is the first in a series of three novels that follow Los Angeles-based reporter Tabitha Walker. The 30-something journalist is forced to reevaluate her priorities when life laughs at the checklist she has devised for being a perfect adult. Readers will find themselves deeply invested in her relatable quest to become a mother before her biological clock runs out, and will recognize their own relationships in her enduring bonds with her homegirls. Diverging Paths. Dawn Turner's Three Girls from Bronzeville, a uniquely American memoir of race, fate, and sisterhood, opens with a 9-year-old Turner and bestie Deborah searching their neighborhood for cast-offs worthy of a second chance. While they ignore Turner's little sister Kim, it's an apt metaphor for the book, which chronicles how racism and classism land Deborah in prison and Kim in a grave at age 25, and examines why some are granted the grace to learn from mistakes while others pay the ultimate price. United We Stand. Already out in the UK, author Rachel Long's poetry collection, My Darling from the Lions, is now available in the U.S. Achingly vulnerable and sharp, it lifts up experiences that unite Black women across the diaspora, like having your hair braided so tightly your eyes hesitate to close, weathering white aggression and holding your breath to keep a man who threatens to disappear. By the time you get to the end, you'll know in your bones that you're not alone. Trap Queen in Bad Fat Black Girl. Notes from a Trap Feminist. Cecily Bowen mines her experiences as a fat, queer Black woman to illustrate the tenet of trap feminism. Her empowering framework for the girls and femmes that respectability politics seeks to leave behind. Written for those whose bodies loom too large for white beauty standards, whose jobs don't involve white collars, and whose waist-length braids are right at home under a bonnet in public, Bowen's fearless debut will make you laugh, revisit your favorite song, lyrics, and above all, feel seen. The next article is titled Getting Out of Debt. Sharona Harris, Bachelor of Arts, Manager of Multiple Streams of Revenue, Student Loan Debt around $80,000. Sharona, quote unquote, Becky Harris, 44, works full time as a multimedia specialist for a think tank in Washington, D.C., and divides the rest of her time between her family, sleep, and several side gigs. The $80,000 she racked up in both private and federal student loans after she switched from a state-funded community college education to American University mandates her hustle. In my mind, I was thinking free money, she admits. I was in my 20s and just clueless. Nobody really sat me down and told me how this was going to affect my life. Long term, I didn't even know what interest rates were. After she graduated, hardship deferments and a graduated payment plan meant that the outstanding loan amount continued to increase. It wasn't until years later, when she married, that her husband pointed out her minimal payments were not doing anything to lower the principal of the loan. "I was literally pouring water into a bucket with holes," she says. "The crazy thing is, my husband and I have good paying jobs, but student loans were really dragging us down. So on top of her full-time job, Harris became a certified nursing assistant, certified med tech, working a few evenings a week and weekends caring for hospice patients. This also led to my working for the Washington Institute for Natural Medicine, where I took my knowledge of patient care and became certified in lymphatic drainage," she says. In addition, Harris found a way to turn a hobby and her training as a master gardener into content for a YouTube channel, The Mocha Foodie Gardener, where she makes additional income as a brand ambassador for an in-home hydroponic company. She predicts the $20,000 that now remains of her student loan will be down to zero in 2 years, since she's putting most of the extra income she earns from her side hustles to paying off the outstanding balance. Danielle Gee, Master of Business Administration, risk taker, student loan debt around $100,000. In Danielle G's sophomore year at Princeton, the school raised her family's tuition contribution from $1,500 to $8,000 when her mother's pay as a registered nurse increased and her new stepfather's salary was added to the total household income, despite the fact he was not a contributor to G's tuition. "Even though my mom on paper was making more, she didn't really have enough to cover the increase. So I took out loans to pay the entire portion," says G, 38, chief of staff for the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society and a CEO Action Fellow for Racial Equity through her company. 3 years after leaving Princeton, G was enrolled at Harvard Business School. She received a substantial grant from Harvard to attend and secured a pre-MBA internship with the investment company UBS through Management Leadership for Tomorrow's Prep program. She also received an annual $20,000 scholarship toward her tuition from UBS. "Instead of having $200,000 in debt," she says, "I came out of Harvard owing $80,000, which is still a lot. This amount, combined with her undergraduate loans, brought her total debt to about $100,000 in 2010. The debt lingered even after she got married and started her family. She and her husband were forced to observe a tight budget, share one car, live in a tiny apartment with their first son, and not travel much while also paying off their wedding debt. G paid off the loans with the highest interest rates first, beginning with the one that had a 9% rate. In just 8 years, the Teaneck, New Jersey resident was able to cut her $100,000 student loan in half by using her signing bonus, salary, and subsequent annual bonuses from UBS once the company hired her as a full-time employee. And then she found GiveLing, an app that crowdfunds student loan and mortgage debt through a series of trivia questions. The goal is to become number one. She obsessively played every day, several times a day for 9 months, and accrued a debt of $10,000 on her credit card as a result. Fortunately, G won $50,000 and was able to pay off the amount left on her loan. She even had $8,000 extra to pay toward her mortgage. "It was a gamble that paid off for me," she says. At this moment, she recommends that anyone looking to use this risky method of paying back their loans tread lightly. "I would recommend it only if you play without investing a dime. Cheryl Proctor, Doctor of Philosophy, loan forgiveness recipient. Student loan debt over $150,000. When Cheryl Proctor, 52, talks about the more than $150,000 she owes in student loan debt after attending undergraduate and graduate school, her eyes fill with tears. While I am fairly successful, the financial burden of the loans hangs over my head, she says. These feelings persist even though she has been promoted to a supervisory role in a large urban school district, and though she managed to pay for her doctoral degree in educational leadership without accruing additional student loan debt. Since she relied on deferments and forbearance when she could not afford to pay, the total amount of her original loans has grown exponentially over the years due to interest and fees. I'm expected to pay back thousands upon thousands of dollars, she says. And I'm like, I did not borrow all of this money. There are times I cry because it is a burden. Her parents, immigrants from Jamaica, encouraged her to pursue her education, but were unfamiliar with the system and unable to give her financial advice. They were just working and trying to make it, so they didn't know how to help me, Proctor says. I don't know that they really understood what I was dealing with themselves. I think student loans impact people of color the most because we are the ones who most depend on them to go to college. We are always trying to achieve to get that promotion, and you feel like in order to do that, you have to go back to school to get another degree. Early in her career as a special education teacher, Proctor found out that she could have had a percentage of her loans forgiven, but because she hadn't enrolled in the program within her first 90 days of being hired, she no longer qualified. That missed opportunity, plus the responsibilities of managing a home and family, made it difficult to keep up with her payments. Now I was 30-something, and although they called about payments and payment plans, I did not understand that they had compounding interest accruing, and the amount multiplies while it's in deferment, Proctor says. A few years ago, Proctor enrolled in a 10-year income-driven repayment plan through the Public Service Loan Forgiveness Program. She has been making qualified, timely payments on her balance, as well as paying for her daughter's undergraduate education out of pocket to ensure that the cycle of student loan debt ends with her. The next article is titled, What Fashion Entrepreneurs Need to Know. These Black designers are on a mission to amplify the diaspora. They are embracing their heritage through textiles and colors, and at the same time, they are leveling the playing field for future style creatives. Jamila, owner of Commune in Atlanta. 4 years ago, Jamila launched Commune, a footwear and leather goods brand featuring products designed with color options that reflect 10 skin tone shades. Her goal to provide women of all complexions with true nude options is part of her vision as a designer and founder. Authenticity is everything, she says. Stay true to yourself and your vision as a founder. Stay true to your goals and your brand. Stay true to your customers. They are the ones who will stick by you, regardless of whether you're in business, in a high capacity or low capacity. Her advice for other founders is to create an infrastructure to grow the business. Make sure that you have the best of the three T's in place: team, technology, and tools, she explains, adding that an optimal combination of all three is essential to helping design entrepreneurs manage their growth. Robin Sirleaf, owner of Surrett Plus Rose, New York City. Robin Sirleaf began Surrett Plus Rose as a side hustle while maintaining a legal career. She became a full-time design entrepreneur in 2020. She envisions the fashion brand as a social impact venture that sells accessories made by African entrepreneurs. Surrett Plus Rose draws from Sirleaf's Liberian roots and include items made from byproduct leathers and textiles that are spun, loomed, and woven into accessories. We are changing the narrative of what made in Africa means by working with people outside of traditional channels of opportunity to create high quality goods that serve you on a functional, everyday basis, Sirleaf says. One lesson she learned as a founder is that it takes more money than you think to launch a business. Get as much as you can before starting, but don't spend most of it on one thing and put all your hopes in that, she advises. Also, be prepared to take advantage of opportunities. Lots of people say they just need money, which is always true, but make sure you have your operational plan in place so the money has a clear direction. In other words, be ready to receive your blessing. Baseyo Olupana, owner of Baseyo in Brooklyn. When Baseyo Olupana opened her Brooklyn-based fashion brand 9 years ago, her goal was to create vibrant textiles like those from her native Nigeria, using the Adari resist dyeing technique. It's been a journey for the designer, whose clothes can be found at Saks Fifth Avenue, shopbop.com, and various boutiques. Starting a fashion business is a marathon, not a sprint, and you have to keep taking steps even when you're not sure what the next one is, she says, and never stop learning. Nerd out on the industry, not on the glamour, and be hungry to discover everything you can, she says. Her desire to keep growing helps attract mentors with business advice. I have to remain teachable to be able to absorb their wisdom and avoid silly mistakes, especially as one scale up, she says. As more opportunities come your way, it can be difficult to discern which way to go. That's when you need mentors to guide you. The next article is titled 10 Things We Are Talking About. Here is the latest news you should know. 1. The Delta variant. The new coronavirus strain has been making its rounds. World Health Organization consultant Dr. Maria Van Kerk have described the Delta variant as one that rapidly takes off and spreads between people more efficiently than the Alpha variant. The variant has been detected in 96 countries as of July 2021. College bound, number 2. The good news kept getting better for Scripps. National Spelling Bee champion Zayla Avant-Garde, the ninth grade sensation, made history as the competition's first African-American winner and has since received scholarship offers from Tulane University, Southern University, Louisiana State University, and Louisiana Community and Technical College System. Number 3, an overdue debt. The Jamaican government has confirmed plans to file a petition demanding billions of dollars in reparations from Great Britain. The National Library of Jamaica estimates that the slave trade brought 600,000 Africans into the country. Number 4, Birthing While Black. A new documentary titled High Risk that's streaming on BET takes an in-depth look at the Black maternal health crisis through heartbreaking stories of loss, trauma, and medical neglect. Executive producers Eric Dickens and Kara Barnett provide a harrowing reports on the realities of pregnancy and childbirth for many Black women. Number 5, funding Black history. The National Trust for Historic Preservation's African American Cultural Heritage Fund has now topped $50 million held by Smithsonian Institute Secretary Lonnie Bunch as the largest resource in American history dedicated to the preservation of African American architectural landmarks. The fund's list of 65 past grantees includes Mount Zion Baptist Church in Athens, Ohio, and Hampton University in Hampton, Virginia. Number 6, Black Designer Database. Judas and the Black Messiah costume designer Charlize Antoinette Jones is bridging the opportunity gap for other Black fashion creatives in Hollywood through the expansion of the Black Designer Database. Founded by Jones in 2019, the resource features the work of over 300 Black designers. Number 7, Breadwinners. Best Friends Charles Alexander, Jamel Lewis, and Mark Edmond are making their mark on the food industry with the Black Bread Company, credited on the official website as the first ever Black-owned sliced bread company in the world. The brand recently partnered with P Family Services in Chicago to provide internships to local youth. Number 8, Blackout. The Obamas' Higher Ground Productions Company and Temple Hill are developing a film adaptation and TV series for Netflix titled Blackout. The project, penned by Black women, all notable authors of the young adult genre, brings 6 love stories to life and centers on the fictional experiences of 12 New York City teens during a power outage in the middle of a heat wave. Number 9, A Win for Motherhood. Decorated track and field champion Allison Felix is helping fellow mom athletes with child care grants offered for the newly established The Power of She Fund. Together with Atlanta and the Women's Sports Foundation, the fund will provide $10,000 each to 9 initial recipients, including 6 mothers who competed in the 2020 Olympic Games. Number 10, The Animated Art of Dance. Bat 2, an animated dance series, is coming to the Cartoon Network, courtesy of Oscar-winning Hair Love filmmaker Matthew A. Cherry and writer-director Shaz Bottoms. The series will follow 2 Chicago teens trying to find their footing as talented misfit dancers. The next article is titled Settle In, Curl Up to Autumn with These Feel-Good Finds That Are Right on Time for Your Seasonal To-Do List. This past summer, exciting times were once again enjoyed outdoors. Now that autumn is on the horizon, don't fret. There's a lot of fun in stores as you head back indoors. A whole new roster of activities and adventures awaits. We can already smell that spicy latte brewing and those delicious pies baking in the oven. Get ready to fall back in love with golden sunsets just outside your windows. As you cozy up to the changing season, shop these of-the-moment finds you'll enjoy using the comfort of your own home. Number 1, go for a dip. If the temperature is dropping in your neighborhood, add a little fondue fun to your weekend dinner menu. This reliable, versatile cast iron set is made for meat fondues, but you can melt your favorite cheeses or chocolates with it too. Go ahead and dip your heart out. Swiss Mar Sierra Cast Iron Fondue Set, $90. SwissMarShop.com. Number 2, throw down. Time to bring out new seasonal decor elements. For a simple update with instant impact, swap out your throw pillows. I'm obsessed with the contemporary African design of this pillow, which features a fall-inspired color palette and pays tribute to the work of iconic Malian photographer Malik Sidibe. Hello, $95. 54kitbo.com. Number 3, roll with it. If you're a pie queen, a trusty rolling pin is your secret weapon. And this one does it all. Use the pin rings to raise and lower the surface to create just the right pastry thickness for each bake. Don't forget to save us a slice. Adjustable rolling pin, $25. us.josephjoseph.com. Number 4. Double up. Can't pick just one signature scent for all? Then have two. The Pura Smart Home Diffuser lets you plug in two designer fragrances at once. Use the app to control the timing of which one you release for day or night. Pura Smart Device, $45. Try Pura.com. Number 5, get spicy. Fill your home with more delectable aromas than ever before with this gem. It's the first Keurig series to feature multi-string technology, which extracts even more flavor from your favorite morning coffee or tea blends. Our brew of choice, New England Coffee Caramel Apple K Supreme Plus Single Serve Coffee Maker, $190. Keurig.com. Number 6. Swaddle yourself. Having a great blanket handy for escapes with a good book or movie is self-care 101. And if the blanket is as chic as it is soft, you can't lose. This boho-inspired microfiber throw checks both boxes. Casablanca throw, $155. SundayCitizen.co. The next article is titled Girls United Summit 21. After 2020's inaugural event, Girls United Summit is back with an all-new hybrid experience to provide Gen Zers and Millennials with the tools they need to thrive. With this summit, we will grant access to educational resources and opportunities while encouraging our audience to explore their passions and broaden their perspectives through community. This October, Girls United Summit is bringing you custom programming and conversations on topics such as mental health, entrepreneurship, activism, and social media content creation. We will also host interactive presentations, including workshops and special music performances, while celebrating notable young women who are shaking things up. Next week's article is titled The Cost of Essential Work. Black women share the challenges and fight for protections amid a pandemic that has made their work and lives even more precarious. Well, we have run out of time for today's episode of Essence. We hope you enjoyed it and be sure to listen next time. I am Avra Lewis, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Essence is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.